welcome to ViralCast, the best podcast for viral news, reviews, and movie news. I'm Nick Butler, editor-in-chief of MovieViral.com, and today we'll talk G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra, as well as some other movie and viral news. I'm joined by MovieViral.com staff writer Scott and MovieViral.com contributor Matt. So, let's jump right in here, and what did you guys think of G.I. Joe?
Matt, you first.
I loved it. It was a fun action movie, but I can see why really hardcore fans of G.I. Joe wouldn't like it, because they did change a lot, such as Cobra Commander, which even I didn't
Such as everything.
Yeah. Still. Snake Eyes was cool, but everything, if you just go in wanting an action movie, you're gonna like it.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, because I don't know anything about the G.I. Joe stuff. I mean, I had the little dolls, but not the real ones.
Action figures.
You would correct me. No, they're dolls, actually.
Yours are.
Anyway, yeah, no, but I have the little G.I. Joe action figures, and so, I mean, I don't know the Cobra or any of the storyline. I don't even know where G.I. Joe came from. Is it like a comic?
No, it started out as an action figure toys? In the 60s.
So how is there a storyline behind it?
I don't know. Hasbro just made a cartoon about it.
What?
I think basically what happened was, is, you know, the characters originally started, they had soldiers. That's all they were. They were soldiers. And then things started changing because of, you know, Vietnam and, the you know, everyone was against Vietnam. So they started building them, you know, a little bit above and beyond soldiers. They made them, you know, reservists, and they made them, you know, deep sea divers and stuff like that. They tried to push it away from war. So now they had more characters. And then eventually the comics and the cartoon came in, and that's when the storylines actually started kicking into those character names.
Yeah, so I didn't know any of that. So I went in actually expecting from the non-reviews, because there weren't any critic reviews, if I'm right. So I went in not expecting a good movie, because, you know, when something like that happens, you expect that the movie's not good, so they're not showing it to critics, so they can't say it's bad. But I actually enjoyed it, and by the way, this podcast probably will have spoilers. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say it will. And, at the beginning, I was really confused in that first war scene, the kind of battle scene there with the the G.I. Joes and the regular soldiers and the bad people. So I was a little confused who was good and who was bad. But, I mean, as we progressed, I actually kind of liked it. And then with the end, I really liked the kind of, I guess, twist ending, but not... I guess it is predictable, but I actually didn't see it coming. I didn't see it as predictable as most movies.
Right. And I think that, too, because of the fact that you didn't have that background into it. And, you know, I mentioned in my review that if you don't have the background, it's a great action movie. Mm-hmm. It was, you know. But, again, you know, Matt said the diehards get a little upset. I'm not a diehard, but I grew up with I knew the stories. I knew the backgrounds and things like that. So for me, it was just disappointing to see a lot of it changed, you know, you kind of saw things happening, you know, before they happened, and I don't know, just seemed a little out of place, a lot of it.
Yeah, Matt, what do you think?
About what?
The predictability of the movie, I guess.
Just straightforward movie. Wasn't very predictable at all.
What are you saying right now?
I didn't know.
It was predictable or it wasn't?
It wasn't.
Okay.
So. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know Storm Shadow would get smoked.
I saw that coming.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it happened because I flipped through pages of a book about a month before the movie and I was like, whoops.
I didn't know. The Baroness would actually be good at the end.
Well, she's technically still not, but
she's in prison.
I'm not saying that the whole movie is predictable. The ending, I saw that, you know, coming. That wasn't, you know, a twist.
What, Cobra Commander?
I don't know how much spoilers we want to give away, but, you know, the whole...
Let's just go ahead and give it away.
Should we?
I think if they're listening to this, they've seen it. We can put a warning.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
Okay, so
just stop when, listening the whole for a couple minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Don't listen starting now and then watch the movie and then come back to this point and watch it. Or listen to it. The whole Zartan ending. Saw it coming.
Yeah, but, it's kind of hard to explain. I didn't see it coming because I don't know the plot or the background. I didn't know what they were doing with his face. Like, I know they actually said, and I figured this out after what they said. I kind of understood it more. But, it wasn't as predictable as most movies are for me.
True.
But, I can understand. Towards the end, I knew that was going to happen.
Right, exactly.
But in the beginning or in the middle, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
Yeah.
But,
No, I mean, it was cool. It's one of those endings that leave the movie open for another, which they're already going to do another. They've already signed on for a sequel. So.
I think this kind of movie is kind of like when you make, and this kind of basically is the same scenario, it's when you make a movie for a book. There's things you have to change for a cinematic point to make it more appealing to the general, the people who aren't.
Sure, and I can understand maybe some... Maybe some
background. But G.I. Joe is appealing to everyone in America.
Well, I mean, well, when you look at
it is. I mean, it's
when you look at Angels and Demons, for example, in the book, all three of the cardinals, or four, three, three, three cardinals are killed, and then in the movie, one of them lives, and that's a huge change, and then he becomes Pope, and that doesn't.
Okay.
It's a big change. It totally rewrites the end of the book, and. In the end of the movie, in the end of the book, so it's a complete change, and I guess that's sort of a thing that you have to do for it to work in a movie, even though it at first glance it doesn't seem like it's needed.
Right, and there probably it gets to the point to where you're almost changing the storyline because you need to make the movie yours. Otherwise, it's I just got done reading the book. I know what it's like. I'm not gonna. So you almost, I think maybe in the back of your head, you're going into it just to see what's gonna change. The Watchmen, they changed the ending. I knew the ending was changed. I still went to see the movie because, what are they going to do? Let's see. So, I don't know. It's just because, again, I mean, this is something that, again, I followed it through my childhood and, it was tough. And, I mean, there's some other sites out there that are dedicated, to G.I. Joe themselves. And it was like a 50-50 split. Yeah, I mean, there's people that were completely against it, the diehards, and then there's diehards that liked it. So I'm split in the middle. It had its great moments. It had great characters. Some people played their parts incredibly well, and other people were, not good at all. Like,
who do you think did the best in the movie, acting-wise?
The best acting-wise, I honestly liked the Doctor.
Yeah, me too.
I really liked that character. I thought he was perfect.
And that I really liked his pre-Cobra Commander voice.
That's what I said. It's like, why would you change that? Because of stupid mask.
I know, but the other mask.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think the voice at the end, that should have been the mask throughout the movie. And then at the end, it should have been the voice that we heard throughout the whole movie.
That's true. It should have been flipped because, as the Doctor, his voice was perfect. Almost exact to Cobra Commander. It was awesome. I thought he was great. I thought, James McCullen there, Chris Eccleston, I thought he was great. Destro was cool. He was tough. He was slick,
I don't like the mask.
Oh, the mask sucked.
I know.
That was horrible. It looked
like a PS2 video game.
It was choppy. It looked like, he got... I don't know. I was incredibly... Like I said, you've got the two...
The toy looks better than him.
The toy looked fantastic, but you've got these two biggest villains, and you screwed up the hugest part of both of them. Their look.
They'll probably change it in the sequel.
I doubt it.
They won't change it. You can't do that.
You're not going to say, well...
Then people
you
don't know who... If they do change it, then I'd be totally confused at who everyone was.
Yeah. No, I got to do is give Cobra Commander, a hood. Make his robe blue.
Well, they wouldn't do the hood because the hood was too resemblance of the KKK. But guess what?
I know, wouldn't that be a good thing? Since he's a villain. No.
But I don't know. It's not resemblance of it. It's a blue mask, and it doesn't have a point. But regardless, he had another mask to choose from, and they decided to create this mask that looked like the plastic heart from Crank.
Eyes looked like a gas mask to me.
Well, the cool thing, I thought it was kind of neat too, because you could see him building his presence, because that one scene where they brought Duke into it or something like that.
He put his mask
in his hand and he put it down. He set it aside like, whoops, almost got caught, planning my coup.
I didn't see any Cobra logos in the movie at all.
At the very end.
Where?
When he mentioned that Cobra was basically rising, they zoomed out of the submarine that they were in, and there was a huge Cobra logo on the side of it.
Why didn't I see that?
Look at the people's necks who were injected, all the people's necks that are injected with the nanomites. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I saw that,
They were all Cobra logos. So, I don't know, I just, going along the people that I thought were great, I thought Ripcord was awesome. Thought he was a very, his comedy was very much needed through the movie. I mean,
I wasn't a fan of Rachel Nichols, though.
Oh my god, are you kidding me?
She was terrible.
Oh, she was fantastic.
She looked hot, but she was...
She didn't have that huge of a part, They had some moments, the crying scene was useless, but I thought Heavy Duty was crap.
Me too.
His accent was horrible. He's not British, right?
I don't think so.
British. I mean, his accent was British and it was just garbage. So.
Was that a British accent?
Yeah.
I thought it was Australian.
I
have a cardboard cutout of Channing Tatum as Duke, and I think that could act better than him.
Duke was cool. He was okay. He played a really good soldier. He played a great soldier.
To call him cardboard would to be insulting a useful packing material.
I don't know. He wasn't that bad, but he was. Like I said, I think he played a better soldier than he played, Duke. So, but I don't know. Like I said, there was too many ups and downs. Go ahead.
I think the best part of the movie has to be Snake Eyes.
Yeah, he was boring to me.
That I think about it, I don't understand what the plot was.
The plot of the whole movie?
Yeah, the whole movie.
Yeah, Destro wants to strike fear into everyone's hearts so they can buy his shit.
I get that, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking are talking, and I really don't know what happened. The end, I'm still confused. I don't even remember the end. And I'm not the last scene, the scene before the last scene.
Cobra Commander, he just started his own shit.
Like,
he
get that.
He started Cobra.
His bits.
I had no idea that was Cobra.
He said, and Cobra will rise. I'm trying to do a shitty voice, but he said that, so...
Wait, the guy that was the doctor?
Yeah, yes. He turned into Cobra Commander, and he
Cobra
said...
Cobra Commander at the end of the movie.
And he said, call me Commander.
I thought they were two different people.
Nope.
See, this is what I'm talking about. I really don't understand what happened.
I know, but you see him put on the mask, and he says, call me Commander.
I saw it, and I understood it, but I don't... Maybe I just don't remember, which isn't good.
Well, I mean, the cool thing about that was, I thought the Doctor was cool because, that was a new character that they created for it. You saw how he became the Doctor. So
I thought that was a pretty good twist. I liked
it. Worked.
When he becomes, when he gets to that point to where he's becoming the Doctor, you see the normal person changing, he's in battle. Mm-hmm. And then he sees what's going to happen, the technology that they're using, and he's like, wow, this is fantastic,
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good twist, finding out that was the guy. I like that. But that was really good. I really like that. But maybe it's because I forgot, because the last scene I actually really liked with the whistling guy. So maybe I just forgot about the scene before that, which isn't good. And I think they actually should have switched that around with
the president. They made the twist.
Yeah, I think the twist should have came first. And then
yeah, they made the twist seem like it was more important than the. But again, you know, and Matt says too. Here it is. It's funny that you know Cobra will rise. Blah blah blah. Well, not really, because here comes G.I. Joe, and now you're captured. But again,
but I guess well, you think about it makes, kind of like Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen.
Where it makes for a sick sequel.
Fallen is
owned,
kind of on another planet, and it's just not there. And then in the
yeah, there's things that
killed.
I mean, here I have so many. I don't know. There's just a lot of things that were wrong. That you know, like again, yeah, I wrote it in the review that the nanomites, you know, the neo vipers or whatever they're called there, they can't feel pain, but yet when one falls off a cliff, he's like ah, you know.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand that, but
things like that, and you know, they just Destro when he gets his mask,
it looks
he's like
so
I've finally taken my place in the McCullen family, and then 2 seconds later, he's crying. What did you do to me? What? You were just happy. You were thrilled. So it was back and forth throughout, and I don't know. It was I was very upset.
Well, the script was rushed.
David, if you're listening, you were right.
No, he's not.
So, I mean, there was just the script was cool. It fit with the story changes that they made. Mm-hmm. The action was great. You know, the CGI was choppy. It could have been better in some points of it. But, I mean, the whole going down the elevator shaft and, you know, seeing the different levels of the Joe's base looked like garbage.
Right.
You know, which, actually, if you remember, Nick, too, you posted that article about the G.I. Joe viral in the games.
Yeah.
One of the games is you're driving, you know, those basically underwater tanks through some circles.
It looks like that.
That was the movie. You know, they showed that in the movie that Duke was that was
and
part
the little,
of Duke.
And the little flames that came out of the back of the jets,
mm-hmm.
those looked so choppy. And the water yeah. that was coming out yep. from when they were going underwater, that yep. seriously looked like PS1 level graphics.
Right. And then you take scenes where, you know, the Eiffel Tower comes down, and that looked great.
And the accelerator suit scenes would look flawless.
Nah, they had ups and downs, but, you know, they were that was cool. It got, you know, it got tons of horrible, you know, crap that, you know, all the suits look like garbage, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't think that.
I thought it was
honestly,
cool. I like.
Honestly, the CG that they used for the bubbles coming out of the jets and the flames, that was worse than the CGI at the end of The Mummy Returns.
Well, he probably uses the same people over and over again, too, for his yeah. movies, so who knows? He may have had the same guys or girls do that movie that he had do The Mummy, so.
But, did he direct
you know,
The Mummy,
again,
too?
Yeah, he did The Mummy. I think he wrote and directed The Mummy, so.
I know he did the first one, but I'm wondering if he yeah. did The Mummy, too.
I think he did. I think he wrote the first one and directed it, and then directed the other two, didn't write them, something like that. I don't know, but obviously that's, you know, that was the Brendan Fraser cameo in the movie, too, is that basically his, you know, he likes him. He works well with him, so he said, I'm going to give you a part. You know, and I don't know. I like this part too. We talked about it before the podcast, but I like Brendan Fraser's part. I thought it was good.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one really big complaint I have, but
mm-hmm.
Sienna Miller was almost too hot. The Baroness isn't supposed to be that hot.
It depends on who you talk to. You don't usually put women in head-to-toe black leather with guns if they're not intended to be, you know, attractive.
I know, but,
you know.
I know, but she's just too hot compared to the cartoon version.
Well, I mean, again, that was another thing that was changed, you know. Another
yeah.
spoiler, again, you're listening to this, so you know the spoilers are coming. But she's an American in the movie?
Yeah.
That's not,
I thought she had a British accent.
No, she was American.
You sure?
Yeah, she played an American in the movie. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, she played an American in the movie who married, you know, the Baron and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they got that part right. You know, she married a Baron, and that's how she became the Baroness. And, you know, they had her little relationship with Destro correct. That was a good, you know, they had that right.
Except she was under mind control, and she really wanted to be Captain Duke all along.
Well, she was for a while, but...
Yeah.
So, that was, you know, that was...
And then her brother got smoked.
Yeah. I don't know, the whole... Anna,
the brother
you know, Baroness.
Angle did kind of make me mad.
Yeah, that was, well, again, you know, that
I don't
part
think,
was cool.
Why?
I just don't like Duke knowing Cobra Commander. I just don't like that. Knowing what his real face looks like.
Right.
You no, never saw it in the
cartoon. Commander has a name.
Did they even give him a name in the old cartoon?
No, he didn't have a name.
No, that backstory is totally made up for the movie, right?
Yeah, yes. Just to make it interesting.
But I have a question, though. Why, when he found the technology, would he turn evil?
Because he was a scientist to begin with, and he knew that this was something that was going to change the world.
But why did he have to be evil to change the world?
Because they...
Well, he was basically saved, you know, the cool little throw-in part. And Nick, since you don't know the history, you may not know, but the other doctor that was with him in the room...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They called him Dr. Mindbender.
Yeah, I heard that name, but I didn't know who he was.
Awesome tie-in. I thought it was cool to throw that name in there.
But
it was basically, if we make it through this, I'll show you everything. So it's a scientist talking to a scientist, and, you know, he sees that this is the way that things are going to change. And, of course, he's, you know, been blown up by his own government.
Why would such a good guy turn evil, though? He was supposed to go out there.
And then he got betrayed by his best friend.
But he didn't get betrayed. Another thing I didn't get.
He called in the airstrike too early.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, I thought that.
No, he didn't call it too early.
I thought that because then when his friend, the doctor's friend, who I know this is the main character, but I can't think of his name, saw the planes coming, it looked like
his reaction. Yes, he said, "You're too early."
Was "you're too early," but then in the scene, the doctor's watch goes off as if it's already been 5 minutes. So he knows he has to get out of there.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, they didn't come back for him.
They buried him somehow. You know, but again, what happens when something blows up? Maybe he got pulled out of there quickly. You know, obviously your government just blew you up. You're going to be against them.
Yeah, but if his watch went off, that would tell me that he knew that the thing was coming really soon and that he had to get out of there, but he still stayed a few minutes.
I know, but they locked him. He closed the door.
Yeah, the doctor Mindbender closed
Mindbender
the door.
Did. So whose fault is it? The government or Dr. Mindbender?
The government for smoking him.
But he knew he had to get out of there.
I know, but like...
His stopwatch went off.
I know, but they didn't come back to get
him. Right now, I'm not even questioning the movie. I'm questioning... I guess I'm questioning the movie since this was made up for the movie. It doesn't make sense to me. Why would such a good guy turn bad...
And again, it's one of those things, too, if you watch the scene that, you know, Dr. Mindbender was, like, showing up out of the woodworks. He came out of the, you know, the shadows, realized
maybe
that
he
had another scientist. He never, you know, he realized he had a scientist in front of him, and scientist to scientist, let's, you know,
but why would
take over the world. We got something big here.
The only thing
I don't know.
I guess
it's a flaw, you know, it could just be another flaw in the movie that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the watch going off, to be honest with you, but.
Yeah, no, the watch goes off, he looks at it, and he kind of hurries up, and then the doctor shuts the door.
Okay.
Maybe he was evil all along.
No.
Yeah, he's just too goody-goody to be evil. You know, he was the little guy that, you know, didn't really go into battle until now, so, you know, it was...
Right.
But, I don't know, I liked it. I thought his character
I do like the backstory, I just don't get how he turned evil. I guess you're not supposed to really question that either, and you're not supposed to... Yeah, you know, it's... I'm looking at it for... I'm getting into it too much, I think, which is good and bad.
No, it's true. I mean, again, so, you know, somebody that goes in without the history wants to get into it a little bit more. And, hope you know, the downside is to the history changing of the movie is, are they going to continue to go forward with this with any future projects, or is it just based on the movie? You know, none of the other...
It almost has to go.
You know, cartoons and stuff, whatever. They would never change the story. You know, you've got all the other ones prior to this, the Resolute and the Sigma Six and stuff like that. They didn't change the story. So now, is he changing the story just for his movie? I hope so. I don't want him to continue to go forward and change the story for other projects in the future. But I don't know.
If you haven't seen G.I. Joe Resolute, go see it. It's online.
Yeah. And I think you and I spoke about this once before, that you would mention Resolute is going to become something, but there were a lot of scenes in Rise of Cobra that were very similar to Resolute.
Yeah, I'll agree.
The, you know, the growing up of Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow and the killing of their master, that was from, you know, the movie. That was, or from Resolute, going into the Arctic, you know.
Yeah, but in Resolute, Cobra Commander looked like Cobra Commander.
Well, yeah, obviously there's things that were changed about it and stuff, but you either wonder, did they do it on purpose? Did they steal from, you know, I don't know. It's, But I thought that was kind of neat that some of the stuff in Resolute was, you know, very similar to Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, well, I just heard they're going to make, like, a full-time Adult Swim cartoon series out of it.
I'll watch it.
So. Me too.
But, so, no, I don't know. It was, like I said, it was an okay movie. I'm not saying I'm completely done with it and I'll never see the sequel. I'll probably do a midnight showing for the sequel as well, just, you know, because it's G.I. Joe and that's what I do. But, mm-hmm. I thought some of the stuff could have been better.
All in all, what do you guys think out of 10?
I'm giving it an 8.
Yeah, I've read your review.
You're giving it an 8? I gave it originally a 6.5 on the review, but I think the more and more we start talking about it, I'm dropping it down to a 6. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and again, before the podcast, we talked about some of the stupid stuff in there.
Like, yeah, but we're not talking about the cool stuff.
Well, we should. We should be talking
yeah,
about the cool
we
stuff.
Should be talking about talk the accelerator about, chasing, Snake Eyes being badass. Cool.
You gave it an 8. Snake Eyes wearing a hip-hop coat.
Come on, that was cool.
You give it. You mentioned the good stuff. You gave it an 8. I'll let you take over.
I actually give it an 8 too, but I don't know the.
Well, here. Story I mean, what did you? Person. You are you're the non G.I. Joe person. Right. What was right. it about the movie that was cool to you?
I guess it was what I thought it would be. Well, it was better than what I thought it'd be because I thought it was going to be horrible, and it was a good action movie, which is what I wanted, and it exceeded my expectations, so I guess that's probably why I gave it the high 8, mm-hmm. which isn't that high. I actually am very nice when it comes to reviewing movies.
And I think some people are going to be turned off because of the fake rumors about Steven Sommers and the movie getting terrible testing and G.I. Joe being an international team.
See, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, well, there have been rumors.
I mean, there was a lot
all
of stuff,
of
you know, again, that was just... It was all pre, you know... release stuff that it was just not, I mean, there was rarely good stuff mentioned about this movie before it came out. It was rare that you would see something diehards were against this movie. So it just,
yeah, but
it had,
every single year, the internet chooses a movie to scapegoat. I think it was a couple years ago, the internet, they hated Fantastic Four. And then before
that, I didn't mind that movie.
What?
I didn't mind that movie.
I didn't like it.
But I don't know anything about that either, so don't.
I hated it, but it's just that the internet just decided, I hate this movie, let's destroy it so it doesn't get any box office and create fake rumors.
Well, it's most of the time, too, it's not so much, you know, that they're going to pick it. The Fantastic Four has a background.
Yeah.
So that's going to automatically be hated. I'm sorry, it's not talking like Twilight kind of movies and stuff like that are, you know...
No matter what, they're going to do good.
Oh, yeah, no matter what comes out, they're going to like it. You know, give the main character a mustache, and the girls are going to be like, oh, but, you know, they have history. So in the back of people's heads, it will automatically fail as a movie. You're not going to convey correctly what I know and love. That's just, it's automatically going to happen.
And movies like G.I. Joe and Fantastic Four, and I guess you could throw in Iron Man and The Dark Knight.
All
of those
awesome.
Movies are going to be looked at and see what's wrong instead of what's good in the biggest sense of it.
Right.
Except for, I mean, The Dark Knight is kind of an exception.
Well, actually,
that's pretty much taken over.
Yeah.
There was a lot wrong with The Dark Knight.
But no one says anything about it.
Oh,
no one says anything, too. And after a while, you're going to get to the point, too, in those movies, The Dark Knight and Batman movies and things like that, that after a while, there won't be any negativity towards them because now it's not based off of history. Mm-hmm. It's based off of the last movie.
Right.
You're not going to, you know, rewrite history in these movies anymore. It's your movie.
It's now its own movie, right. And I agree
with that. Who thought Batman from Tim Burton was going to be good?
Me?
I'm sure that was getting, you know, were you even born? But
yes.
It's going to just get to the point to where you've got fan base that's automatically going to hate you for touching something that they love.
Right.
Yeah,
why
but
would
keep
you do
in mind
this?
That keep in mind that before The Dark Knight came out, people wanted that movie to die.
Well, even
of course.
I'm not
because
lying.
It
they
was killed
wanted
before.
That movie.
This is gonna sound bad, but leading up to Heath Ledger's death, that it was still going on. that whole, mm-hmm. you know, but then after he died, which everyone, I mean, this sounds horrible, but everybody, no matter, they haven't even seen the movie, and they loved it.
I won an Academy Award and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, no, it's true. The movie was not talked about as much until that point.
And Ledger didn't deserve the Oscar. Downey Jr. did.
I agree that he did.
That's another.
I agree that another. Jr., but I think he
Downey Jr. deserved the Oscar.
Comic book movies are never going to get good Oscars.
Unless you die.
The Dark Knight.
So when Robert Downey Jr. has an overdose and relapse again, then maybe. But
if Mickey Rourke dies next. If Mickey Rourke dies next weekend, I guarantee he'll win an Oscar for Whiplash.
Didn't he die like 20 years ago? I think Mickey Rourke died like 20 years ago.
Him and Joan Rivers.
But I don't know. It's just one of those movies that you're coming into this and you're going to, you know, come into my turf and you're going to make my movie and all this kind of stuff. Well, I spit on you because you can't do G.I. Joe right. You're just not going to do it. So everything was negative. I mean, it was just, I was getting sick of it. You know, it's like, how could you base it just because they show the same previews, maybe with a little bit different, and people are like, oh, it's the same stuff I've seen. And
every movie does
all
that, too.
Do that. Yeah, all yeah. previews do it. Cloverfield had, what, 20, almost 20 trailers. You didn't see anything new until the later part.
It had two trailers.
Well, I'm sorry, not trailers. TV spots.
TV spots, yeah. Sorry. They were all the same footage cut in different ways with sound bites and everything like that. Like, that's what every movie does, and I agree with you there. And movies like this are unfairly criticized before they're even out. Because this movie literally hadn't been seen by anyone, for the most part.
Sure.
And people were still saying it's the worst movie ever made. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And it was unfairly scrutinized, and unfortunately, I don't know how good it's doing in the box office yet. It will probably
I heard it made $50 million.
What?
Oh, his tank had something about $22 million.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'll go check Box Office Mojo right now.
But that, that really affected the credibility. I guess credibility wasn't the word. The receiving end of the audience, because people are spreading bad rumors saying it's going to be a bad movie. And I have a kind of, I guess I could say, stupid friend.
Right.
He was telling me, you know, this is going to be a horrible movie. And I go, no. No one's even seen it. How do you know that?
How do you know?
Yeah.
Ellen,
but, you
Scott.
Know, and again, because you guys. Go ahead, man.
Scott. G.I. Joe made $22 million on Friday.
Friday. Okay.
So it could go $80 million or
$60 million. I think they're calling maybe $60 million. I think they're calling possibly like for $60 million.
Which is
and who knows?
And it's possible.
Everyone,
it's possible.
It's possible, you know, it gets $80 million.
Sure, it's a good movie.
The reviews I've heard from people on like Twitter, not reviews, but 140 characters that could tell me something about it, most people were saying it's good. And obviously you're still getting the few there that are saying, oh, it's like what I expected. And I don't even know if they've seen it yet. They could just still be putting it down. But for the most part, on Twitter, and I've been seeing that, you can go check it out yourself. It's a trending topic. I think it still is. Most people are saying it's a good movie. So,
sure. I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I'm not saying it was a great movie. I'm just saying it was a good movie. That's all. You know. But again, I wanted a great movie going into this. So.
And we're going to get a great G.I. Joe movie sooner or later. Well, like a really great
one. It would be cool. Well, I mean, so many character changes within the first movie already that, you know, who knows what they do in the future. I mean, I don't know. It's different. So I'll give it that. I liked it, but not.
Let's just sum this up. Scott, you gave it a 6. And you've said it's not good. It's not bad.
No, it's good, not bad, not
right,
great.
Okay, it's in the middle.
Middle of the road. Middle of the road movie.
Matt says 8, I say 8. Matt has more background. I just went in expecting a bad action movie, and I got what I thought to be a good action movie. So
definitely a good action movie.
Yeah, it is, and that's why I liked it. Should we move on? Anything else you want to say about?
No? Yeah, the toys are awesome.
Oh, and that was some, you know, just a couple little homages that they paid into that movie was, you know,
like
the flag
Real
showing
American
up at the
Hero.
End. Yep. Well, yeah, you had the text, you know, the Real American Hero and, you know, Kung Fu Grip and, you know, things like that. But, you know, the fact that the flag shows up at the end, which, Nick, just so you know, that's the flagship that they were basically on at the end of the movie. That's the USS flag.
Okay, yeah.
Very big in G.I. Joe history. That was cool that they did that. And if you watch the opening sequence, when they were going around the big metal G.I. Joe sign, all those little tags that you read were all stickers from the toys. The, you know, not a step and caution and things like that. So that was neat to see that thrown in there, just a little, you know. Hey, yeah, we didn't.
It is. I think it was Conan O'Brien who said it, and he was obviously joking. But it really is a giant commercial.
Toys.
For toys, yeah. But I mean, obviously, it's not literally. But
well, there's a. I mean, the toys themselves. There's a whole new line of them that are out now.
Right, and they're based probably still great because. Yeah, but that's with any movie like that. Like The Dark Knight obviously has toys now. Star Trek has toys. All that. But, yeah.
Oh, even Terminator has toys.
Can I mention one thing that was really in my head throughout most of this movie?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was so much like Star Wars. The fighting underwater was like...
Go ahead.
No, it's just when they were in there and they're fighting underwater and they're trying to blow up the underwater base was like trying to blow up the Death Star with all the weaving ships flying in and out of each other.
And they did it
the
in one movie.
The Storm Shadow Snake Eyes fight was like the Darth Vader Luke fight. It was, I don't know, there's just a lot of this movie that was like Star Wars.
I've never seen a Star Wars episode movie.
Well, there you go. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Yeah, if you watch them, or if anybody listening to this has seen both, say what, you know, let me know. I think you'll see it.
But there was one thing that they completely missed. There was no after credit scene. And
yeah, that's true.
And they have perfection. They could put a Joe PSA at the end.
I actually thought that movie could have used a good line.
I would have just loved, like, Duke talking about the environment at the end.
That would have been hilarious.
I would have stood up and cheered if that would have happened. Well,
what happened too is I know you guys said your theaters were packed. I don't know how if they stayed for after credits and stuff like that, but my theater was for the most part empty, and they stayed.
How many people were there?
And when it was coming up on the credits?
No, when the movie first started.
I would say when the movie first started, I could have probably seen about 30 to 40 people, if that.
Mm-hmm. And my theater was sold out. Three showings sold out.
No, we had nothing. You know, when our credits came by, there was only about 15 of people left. And at the time that, you know, the last little Spyglass Entertainment logo showed up, you know, there was a lot of yelling at the screen. There's a lot of, that's it? That's all you gave me? You know, I didn't even get, like, a Cobra logo on the screen. No after-credit scene. That was pretty, pretty weak.
I just really want to see a live-action Joe PSA.
I think G.I. Joe...
I'm reading IMDb right now, and I'm in the trivia, and they actually said an end-credit scene was supposed to be Snake Eyes telling a joke to the other Joes.
And I'm sure that's not true.
That
would
have been stupid.
I know, but if they would have did that, I would have trashed this movie. I would have gave it four stars.
I didn't like his background either. You know, not to keep dragging it on, but his background that he chose a vow of silence. No, not really. He didn't chose a vow of silence. He was given it when he lost his, you know, vocal cords. But he said,
I didn't know that, and I thought
he basically made sense. There's a couple different ways that they show it, you know, in Resolute, he gets shot in the back of the neck. That's how they did it in Resolute. There's different ways that they show it, but he never chose a vow of silence. He, you know, he was wounded, and that's why he was a mute. So,
but if Snake Eyes would have talked, I would have sent a personalized letter to Steven Sommers telling him to suck my dick.
Well, at the end of the movie, the original ending of the movie had Snake Eyes talking. He had a little one-liner. I don't know if it was supposed to be humorous. And Channing Tatum said that if you put that in the movie, I'm out. And he knew, obviously he knows his background, that Snake Eyes is a mute. So he said, if you put that in the movie, I'm out. I didn't like the mouth of the mask. I thought that was stupid looking.
How dare he breathe.
He hermed at the end. If anybody watches the movie, he herms. If you don't know what that means, search herm on our forum.
The whole vow of silence thing, that kind of made me think that after he killed Storm Shadow, right? Is that right?
Yeah, Storm Shadow.
The white guy. After he killed the really white
He wasn't ninja, white, he was Asian.
The white ninja Asian guy.
They were both Asians. He's not white, Asian.
The guy that wore the white.
Oh, and you're Scott saying Scott, he was white.
Yeah, no, but the white ninja Asian guy...
The Asian ninja in the white costume.
Yeah, the Asian ninja in the white costume, I think after he killed him, Snake Eyes killed him, I was expecting... thanks, Scott. I was expecting a one-liner that would be like he kicks him down and he falls in the whole big pit into the icy water, and then because of the Vow of Silence storyline, I was expecting Snake Eyes to say like something like, fuck you.
That would have... That yeah, that just I think at that point, if Snake Eyes had talked at any one point in the movie, and right at that point too, that's where he hermed. If he talked at any point of that movie, majority of the people would walk out of the theater.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know that I didn't know he was mute. I just figured the Vow of Silence meant he didn't talk. So I figured after he killed the guy that killed his master, the Vow of Silence was gone, and he could say whatever he wanted to. So I was expecting. You get that with PG-13 movies too. The one little fuck, they slip it in there.
No,
somewhere.
You can't. You can say shit like five times.
No,
but PG-13.
Yeah, there was some cursing.
You can say fuck.
There was cursing
once.
In the movie. Oh no, you can't say that PG-13.
Yes,
but there was some cursing.
Name
you can say
one
it
movie.
Once. Are you kidding me?
Name one movie that's PG-13 that says fuck.
I don't keep it in the back of my head, but there are a lot of PG-13 movies that just say fuck once.
So
no, they don't.
Basically. This is our, like, 158th official explicit podcast on iTunes. Download it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not kidding, though.
Okay. Right, we'll look it up. But
hold on, I'll Google it right now.
But, you know, in this kind of a movie, I don't see the F-bomb being used. I could, you know, but again, I'm glad they threw out his little one-liner. So, there you go. So, G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra, in theaters now.
That's it. We'll pay you money.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hasbro's paying us to plug the movie right now.
Yeah. It'll do fine. He'll be brought on for the next one too. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else we got?
Funny people. We gotta discuss funny people from last week.
We don't have to, but.
Oh yeah! Fuck it. That movie sucked anyway.
I liked it.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
You're right. I didn't. No, I did. I did like it. We're not going to talk about it, though. I liked it. It was a pretty good movie. I give it 7 out of 10.
I didn't even see it. That's how much I liked it.
Let's talk...
2012 updates.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie Frost, he has some posters in downtown L.A.
Yeah. Doing a little
and
traveling.
There's a new shitty iPhone app, which I'm not going to download, because it sounds like a waste of space.
It's free. Is it free?
I don't know, but
if it's free, I'll download it.
And 2012 is possibly delayed a month.
There's still what? We still have two
Wait,
different dates on there right now.
I know, but on the Sony website,
no, that's been explained.
Oh, it has.
Yeah, when we were in the phone chat with the Sony representative, they cleared that up, saying that December 11th, according to her, is the international release date of the movie. That's when it will be in every theater in the movie, so that's kind of a.
That's when Ryan and Christian get to see it.
Right, exactly. And if you supposedly she said, hold on one second. She said something about. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Did she spoil the ending? Like, does John Cusack get smoked?
That's what she said. No, nothing like that. But another thing she said is the reason it says December. They actually changed it to November 11th.
November 11th, okay.
Is that when it was?
Really?
Yeah, I think
November.
It was
November 23rd, I think.
But hold on, we talked to her, and she said she was going to have them change it. And now they have the wrong date.
God.
Sony fucking
Wait,
sucks.
Isn't
no,
November,
no, I'm
wait,
just kidding. I'm just
Sony
kidding.
Sony doesn't suck. They just...
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
They actually explained the George Sony's... Christopher thing in District 9, and that made sense now. No, but
yeah, but they still put the experience the District 9 movie experience.
Hold on, can I just say, November 11th is a Wednesday.
But you know what? Yeah, no, I don't, yeah. It could be. I don't know. It could just be
Why
one
are
of those
they
things
releasing
that
movie?
November 13th, I think, is the what Sony Pictures says.
No, I thought it was in October.
13th. What?
I thought it came out the week before Twilight.
Let me check. I really don't know.
It's November
maybe it
13th.
Maybe it said November. Wait.
It's either November. It's either October or September.
Let me check. I'm checking right now.
MovieViral.com, where we know our stuff.
This is, well, I think it's, we're confused. They've changed the date like 8 times.
They have changed the date. I've seen probably 3 dates. There two in November and then the one in October. So.
November 13th is when it comes out. It was supposed to come out, when was it supposed to come out? August?
July.
July? It was supposed to come out in July. It's coming out in November. I've seen November 13th, November 20th, then December 11th, and now November 11th. And I really don't know which one. I'm going to go ahead and say November 13th. Expect that out.
I like that. That's a good thing.
I could make a bad joke here, but I'm not.
Yeah, don't go. Don't do that.
Thank you.
But another thing she said is about the international thing. It said October or November, December 11th because it was the international release date, and all of their websites, their viral websites, end in .net, so it's more international. So that kind of made sense, and now it says November 11th, and now I have no idea. So
okay.
I'm going to give her an email.
Speaking of 2012, Nick.
Yeah.
Did you officially get ambassador?
Yeah, I did am you an win? Ambassador. I did win that.
Nice.
And I got a cheap t-shirt.
I became an ambassador of 2012, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
That was what I was thinking immediately when I saw it, and it was... I was expecting, and I don't even care. I like the t-shirt. It's a nice t-shirt. It's there's little... It's never going to fit me. I swear to God, it's a kid's medium. But it's this little circle, literally, like, if you put your... You curl your hands and then you put them kind of lapping over. It's this little like tiny circle, and it says IHC ambassador, and yeah, that's all they gave me. I was expecting a little more, maybe like a card saying I was ambassador or something. Like that takes 10 seconds too to print out a little card or a little piece of paper, even crumpled up, thrown in the bag, saying I'm an ambassador. But no, all I got was a lousy t-shirt, and I'm kind of upset.
Well, there you go. I think the ambassador to France, I think he got a lousy t-shirt, too.
And I think...
Of course I did steal a free District 9 t-shirt from Nick over the weekend.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Let's not talk about that on the podcast, but...
Yeah. Okay, so that's cool. And I mean, the thing is, too, is that, you know, one of the other mentions on the whole Charlie Frost is he had those pictures of the backs of t-shirts from... I don't know if they were from Comic-Con. It didn't actually say where they were from. They were just backs of t-shirts. And there was, I don't know, 5 different shirts with 5 different search engines.
And, like, all of them, and on the
Google
one. They
all said 2012 except Google. Google said Mayan Prophecy.
And they can't even use the Google logo.
Well, I don't know if it, yeah, well, I mean, that's, it's one of those things, are they just trying to hype it up at the last minute and get their names up a little higher? Because if you do search 2012, you don't get the movie, you get actual 2012. Weird, you know, weird websites. So it's, are they, I don't know if they're trying to build it up. Obviously 2012 search is not going to build their movie up, but I don't know if that's what the whole plan is. It just doesn't make much sense to release a t-shirt on search engines, but right. I think that's what they're trying to do. I think they just need the name a little bit more hyped up as it gets closer to the movie, get their movie website.
That movie's going to do really well too, because people love the end of the world stuff.
I know, but Twilight comes out the week after, so it's going to get...
That doesn't... No. No.
There's 2 different audiences for those movies.
I don't like Twilight.
Twilight's awesome.
I've never seen a Twilight. I've never seen High School Musical. I've never seen a Star Wars. I've never heard a Hannah Montana song. And I'm proud of myself for many of those accomplishments. Star Wars, I don't know why I haven't seen one. That I don't
Star Wars is good.
I bet it is. I just don't have time to watch 8 movies.
There you go. So,
no, you don't have to watch.
Oh yeah, but Scott, are you gonna run for leader of the post 2012 world?
You know, here's the thing. I see that you guys are posting on the forums that you're getting your updated emails.
Yeah.
I've registered with 2012, I've registered with Surrogates, I've registered with that Paul Giamatti viral site. I get nothing from those guys. Every time you post that, oh, I got this email from, you know, MNU or 20, you know, who else?
Are you doing it wrong?
Check your spam folder.
I go right through my webmailer.
No, they wouldn't go to your spam either. I know that
I don't
sure.
get them. I've never received any of those emails that you guys are posting, so I registered. Apparently, they don't want me to be a, you know, post-world leader.
But you know, I guess you're 32 years old. I say you run.
I'll
be your campaign manager.
Thank you. We'll have a video.
You'll do about as good as Ron Paul did.
Ron Paul will be elected.
Ron Paul and Bruno.
Ron Paul's the shit.
So yeah, let's okay. 2012. Let's. Are you guys looking forward to this? The viral's been a little bit slow.
Fuck no.
It started out kind of like District 9.
But... You know, it's funny because I follow the viral more than I'll probably follow the movie. I didn't like the trailer. I didn't like it. I didn't like John Cusack jumping a Mercedes out of the back of an airplane.
That's the only thing I've ever heard you say that was bad about it. You said you liked it until that part.
Like, yeah, the trailer looked great. It looked fantastic. The explosions and the whole, you know, everything looked great. The Vatican that rolled down the hill and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just looked great. And then he jumped a Mercedes out of an airplane, and I said that was the worst thing I've ever seen.
That does not happen.
That was horrible.
Wait, guys, we're talking about a movie of the end of the world, and you are pointing out that no one can drive a Mercedes out of an airplane in a movie about the end of the world.
Yeah.
Well,
in 2012,
I just don't,
as prophesized by the Mayans.
Well, how about this, Nick? People. If that actually is happening in the world, are you going to drive a Mercedes out of a plane?
If
that just means that in the post-apocalyptic world that Mercedes will be
guys,
cheaper.
Guys, this is a movie. Hold on. You just watched G.I. Joe where...
And that was awesome.
They have a missile
they don't
that can
They don't try to be real in G.I. Joe. They know it's sci-fi weapons. They use sci-fi weapons.
The end of the world is sci-fi. What are you...
No, it's not, bro.
What are you talking about? It's a movie. It has special effects. It's not actually happening.
Yeah,
don't jump
drive
on Mercedes out of an airplane. Mercedes.
You're watching a movie where they're flying a helicopter through two buildings that are holding on together, and the John F. Kennedy aircraft is plummeting into the White House, and you say, no, wait, there's a Mercedes coming out of an airplane.
Yes, that's exactly what I am saying to you. Yes.
That is what we're saying.
Hold on, wait. Is it the Mercedes? Is it the Mercedes, or is it the actor?
No, both. I like John Cusack. I think John Cusack's fantastic.
And what's wrong?
But it just seems so out of place.
There's even a clip where there's a helicopter with a giraffe dangling from the helicopter, and you're complaining about the Mercedes coming out of the airplane.
You do not jump a Mercedes out of an airplane.
It's not that I'm complaining about the fact that you're jumping a Mercedes out of an airplane. I'm complaining of the fact that all of your destruction is awesome. The roads crashing into, you know, and the buildings plummeting and the airplane going between the two buildings, awesome. So cool to look at. And then you throw that in the middle of it?
But
put it in the trailer.
Plane's crashing. It's not like the plane's going smoothly and then he decided to jump out of the airplane for the hell of it. The plane's crashing. He had to get out of there. And who knows? You haven't seen any more than that little tidbit. For all we know, after he gets out of there, the car rolls over and they all die.
It's not like, what were they building an Ark?
Maybe it doesn't work.
They were building the Ark and they're like, quick, everyone, get on the plane and put the Mercedes in there too. No, what? Whatever.
I don't think the CGI actually looks good compared to real people.
What?
No, I thought the CGI looked great. I thought it was And here's the thing. It's just because of it's a trailer, CGI changes.
It's not done yet. I can agree with that.
It's not 100%. They could change it.
But it just
right
looked...
Up to the time
it just looked too bright to me.
What?
I don't know.
I'm saying the CGI, it didn't match up with the real people. It didn't match up with the real objects.
What are you complaining about right now?
I'm complaining that the CGI looks like ass.
You're complaining about that and...
A Mercedes jumping out of a plane.
And not the giraffe.
That's all I'm complaining about is the Mercedes.
Or, I don't understand. I'm sorry, I just don't understand.
I know, but you could probably airlift a giraffe. You probably could do that.
Yo, dog, I heard you like safety, so we put a Mercedes-Benz in the back of your airplane.
But complaining about that instead of the... I can understand if you're complaining about the fact that people think, actually, in real life, that the world's going to end in 2012. People actually think that.
But it is.
I can understand if you're complaining about that, but complaining about in a movie that isn't real, a Mercedes driving out of an airplane as something that just doesn't work, and it's in a movie.
It didn't fit the trailer. That's all I'm saying.
It does fit the trailer. I disagree because you have the airplane, it's like a five second clip. It's not
when the Vatican was crashing and rolling down the street. You didn't see the Pope mobile jump out of the freaking fire. It didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense.
The airplane's crashing and they got to get out of the airplane. You make it seem like the entire trailer was an airplane flying. And then all of a sudden, a car comes out of it and just drives away.
That's just the part that sticks out like a sore thumb.
No, it doesn't until Scott says something about it.
Yes, it does. Last night, when I was laying down in bed, I was thinking, why the fuck did John Cusack drive a Mercedes out of an airplane?
I'm pretty sure you guys are just saying it.
Wait a minute, Nick, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You're upset with us because we're questioning why he would jump. The end of the world is happening. Do you honestly think you're going to be saved because you jumped a car out of a plane?
No, that's my point. You're talking about the end of the world, but you're not even talking about that. I don't even know.
Honestly, that scene was equivalent to the cable guy, I guess it's because it's a movie
where the world is ending and all these things are happening. There's a aircraft carrier hitting the White House. There's a giraffe being pulled by a helicopter. There's all this stuff going on. There's planes going through buildings, and there's literally land masses sinking into the water. But the thing that doesn't make sense to you is the car coming out of the airplane. That was what stuck out, not the land flipping upside down and going into the water.
No.
Why? That's like saying...
I'm waiting.
It's jumping a Mercedes out of a plane.
I'm going to say this right now because the lady that you spoke with is so when he mentioned that she, you know, she's looked at our site and she checks it out. If you're listening, could you please do a tie-in 2012 in a Mercedes commercial?
Mercedes, it will save your life. When the world's coming to an end, how are you
You'll
going
still
to
have
survive?
Your Mercedes.
I know, there's probably an iPhone app that can stop the world from ending.
I think, isn't there an iPhone app for 2012?
Yeah, and it sucks.
Have you even tried it yet?
No.
That's great. Yeah, now you're complaining about iPhone apps you haven't even used. And movies you haven't even seen.
Yeah, because he jumps a Mercedes out of a plane.
But you don't know how it fits into the movie. Again, after
yes,
after
I do.
The Mercedes
I know
comes
he
out
jumps
of the
a Mercedes hold out on, of a
hold
plane.
On, hold on, after
That's
the Mercedes,
all I need to know.
After the Mercedes is out of the airplane... It crashes. Are you going to complain anymore? Because the plane's crashing, you're dead anyways. Why not try?
But he lands it.
He could do a barrel
roll. He's not
going to
fall over and die.
He's going to lean over to his son as they're dying and be like, I tried.
What are the chances? Or what are the odds?
It's like they pull the ending of The Mist and have John Cusack just cap his whole family. And then when he walks out, the world just stops blowing up.
Or they could just pull a Knowing and have everyone die in the end.
Yeah.
Thanks, Except I didn't see that kid. One.
Yeah, don't worry about it, don't see it. It's 2 hours, and then at the end you're like, what? So, okay, let's move away from 2012 and Mercedes. Let's go to District 9.
District 9.
Well, at least District 9 doesn't have an alien driving a Mercedes out of a spaceship.
It could, you haven't seen it yet. So
we haven't seen it yet. Hey, look at the news. Remember that news footage that I talked about that's on District9Movie.com? They stole a car, so you never know. So,
Do you really think they're going to have a Mercedes in South Africa?
South Africa is actually, like... Do you know South Africa? Are you just
it's part of Africa, so it's
bad?
District 9 is the bad area. Look outside of it. It's not... South Africa is not District 9.
It's the best part of Africa...
I know, but wasn't it a war zone just a few years ago?
Everything's a war zone, yeah.
So, but, you know, that's what District 9 is. It's not South Africa. It's a part of South Africa that's set up to segregate
the area. And there are parts of South Africa that are like that. We're not saying all of South Africa's luxury, but... but definitely I think this movie has a strong message, and I know, Scott, you've talked about it.
Yep.
I've talked about it. Scott, do you really, like... is this kind of like a Battleship Theory, or do you actually think, by the way, Battleship Theory, long story, do you think that this has to do with U.S.-Mexico relations, sort of
thing? I honestly do. It wasn't one of those wacky theories because I saw the smoke in the air and it looked like, you know, the map.
Right.
I mean, there's other stuff in there that doesn't scream, you know, Mexico, United States. But I think it's just too far involved with, you know, aliens and humans communicating to be apartheid.
But do you think there's more to it than that? Do you think it might have multiple meetings? Or do you think
it's a mixture of, I think the most logical reason is it's a mixture of both. Because when
there's gonna be more to it.
Apartheid was going on, they didn't give the blacks jobs. They didn't offer them jobs.
I disagree with kind of both of you, and I think it's more of a xenophilia type thing where it's a reference to it, where you're hating on your own people, you're excluding them. Xenophilia is in Africa where Africans are, I guess, not racist, the word xenophobic, I guess, against other Africans, but it is the same as what white racism is to blacks, as black xenophilia is to blacks.
Right, it's just more within, you know, it's tied in. And no, I'm not saying it's 100% Mexico, United States. There's obviously got to be more involved into it, you know. But I honestly feel strong, you know, whether, you know, Neil Blomkamp's going to come right out and be like, you nailed it on the head, Scott, you know, movie viral for the win. That was exactly what my, you know, idea was. Who knows? It may not have anything to do with it. It could just be taken from it. I mean, it's in the, you know, it's in the news every day.
It could just be because this movie, obviously, I think everybody agrees it has a second meaning. It is an analogy for something. And Neil Blomkamp said that too. And I think it's because the message it is sending is so strong in so many areas with racism, xenophilia, and probably the U.S., Mexico relations where you have that whole thing going on in apartheid and all of that. I'm sure the message is so strong it's gonna get all that. So you're not wrong, and I bet you won't be wrong, but you're not right, and I'm not because it has what I'm guessing to be more than one meaning, and I'm guessing it's gonna be a strong one. But it's not. It's also not a political movie.
It's a straight up sci-fi movie with some hidden meanings.
Right, but
I'm not saying Star Wars.
I'm not saying you're gonna go and you're gonna watch this movie and you're gonna say, "Well, you know, I look at, you know, these countries differently." No, it's not that kind of movie. I mean, you're gonna obviously feel it. You know, I mean, because of the fact. I'm just saying that there's a possibility that more of Mexico-U.S. relations were used in the thought of the movie.
Right.
It's not Alive in Joburg anymore. It's not that movie. It's, you know, so there's a story involved, whether there was in the short, I don't know. But I'm just saying that I look at it and it's just constantly, you know, little updates of what possibly could be Mexico and U.S. as opposed to the apartheid. So,
you know, it's probably going to be both too.
There's going to be a ton of stuff in this movie. I think this movie is going to be, like, you're going to be loaded down with a lot of info.
I want to go ahead and I want to say this is going to be one of the best movies of 2009 from the reviews I've heard. I haven't heard one bad thing about this movie, and I honestly think, and Howard Stern said it reminded him of what Star Wars, the effect Star Wars had in 1976. I believe it was 1976. I could be wrong on that date. Again, never seen Star Wars.
77,
whatever. So I honestly think this movie is going to have sort of the cultural impact that Star Wars had, obviously to a lesser. It's not going to create a whole new bang, but it's going to have that. It's going to get that fan base behind it. The exclusive kind of fan base, like Star Wars has, like Star Trek has. Like other movies has, I guess Tron has, things like that. It's not going to be huge. It's going to be there, though. And
One thing. I don't think this movie is going to catch on because it's rated R.
I don't see
all
it
the
being
kids.
Star
all
Wars
the kids. They loved Star Wars. They went out and bought the toys.
Right. That's why I said it's going to be like Star Wars, but with a lesser effect.
You can't go take a 3-year-old kid to go watch a gory movie where aliens are telling.
That's right.
MNU agents to go suck their dicks, and you can't take them to Walmart afterwards and buy a Christopher doll.
I hope they have them.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I didn't mean it like that. I
said Star Wars with a lesser effect, because it's not going to create this whole big thing where people are going to go around wearing Darth Vader masks in public and have no life and sit in their parents' basement. It's going to be a cultural impact like it has with Tron. You don't see people going around wearing Tron suits. Guy. But it's going to be like that. It's going to create a buzz, and it's going to get a fan base, and I would not be surprised at all to see some sort of a sequel, whether it be a direct sequel or some sort of a kind of...
Direct-to-video.
Like an indirect sequel, like it actually has nothing to do with District 9, but it's directed by Neil Blomkamp, produced by Peter Jackson, and it is supposed to be. Well, that's it for this week's edition of ViralCast, the number one podcast for Movie Viral News. Make sure you follow Movie Viral on Twitter, twitter.com/MovieViral. Follow our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MovieViral. And if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/NicholasButler, NICHOLAS. You can follow Matt on Twitter, Matt L. Poole, POOLE. Thanks for watching. I hope you join us next time. Next week, we have a special viral cast coming up for the District 9 review. We'll be joined by a lot of people. Dan's going to be here. I'll be here. Scott, Matt, maybe Ian, maybe a special guest. We don't know. We have a big thing planned for next week, so make sure you check the website next week for that. And other than that, just, stay viral strong. Good night, everybody.